Good morning. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the BPER third quarter 2019 consolidated results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alessandro Vandelli, CEO of BPER. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all for joining this conference call today about our 9-month 2018 results. This is Alessandro Vandelli, CEO, and I'm here with Roberto Ferrari, CFO, Alessandro Simonazzi, Head of Planning and Control, and Gilberto Borghi, Investor Relations Manager. Before going into details about our 9-month results, let me briefly highlight a few key points which help, in my opinion, to have a clear picture of the state of the art after a period full of important events. Please go to the executive summary of the presentation on page 5, which is already available on our website. So far, 2019 has been a very busy and demanding year. We are close to the end of this 2019. I think we can be very proud of what we have been able to realize. In few words, we have successfully combined a growth strategy to the enlargement of the group perimeter with a strong, clear improvement in asset quality and at the same time confirming a solid capital position and a good level of profitability. You all know the details of the deals we closed at the end of July, so let me only express the great satisfaction for having positively completed important activities for the growth of the group. As a result, Unipol Banca and Arca Holding became part of the group scope of consolidation starting from July 2019. Now I'd like to focus on a few leading points that, in my opinion, represent a sort of a fil rouge of our storytelling. There are 5 key words. The first one is growth. Our group has grown significantly in terms of total assets, reaching over 80 billion of total assets and climbing to 172 billion of total funding, mainly thanks to the change in the scope of consolidation. We are going to see some details in the next slides. The second word is asset quality. Asset quality strongly improved. Gross NP ratio now stands at 11.6%, down by more than 2 percentage points since the beginning of the year, by 8.3 percentage points since January 2018, and circa 12 percentage points since the peak of the crisis in mid-2016, when we had an NP growth ratio of 23.5%. Default rate is at 1.6% annualized versus 1.9% in 2018 and versus a peak of above 7% in 2013. All these figures clearly show the strong step forward in asset quality of our group year after year. Moreover, we have already started the activities for a new securitization of a portfolio of bad loans expected by the end of first half 2020, with the aim of reaching over 1 year in advance the target of a gross NP ratio well below 9% set in the business plan for 2021. The third word is capital. Our capital position is very strong even after the completion of the extraordinary deals and the de-risking achievements. We have been able to manage capital in a very effective way, and we continue to be very solid with a CET1 ratio fully phased at the end of Q3 at 12.36%, up respectively by 3 bps versus Q2 and 41 bps versus December 2018. Profitability is the fourth word. All in all, our profitability is resilient despite a difficult macroeconomic scenario and low negative interest rate levels, even on an ordinary basis. 9 months 2019 stated net profit at 522.9 million euro, which is not directly comparable to the same period of the last year because of the change in the scope of consolidation and some significant non-recurring items, like in the third Q badwill generated by the acquisition of Unipol Banca of 353.8 million euro, and higher loan loss provisions, also in line with expected acceleration of the de-risking process. In the first half 19, we have other negative non-recurring items for a total of 22.9 million euro. Having said this, I'd like to highlight the resiliency of revenues, in particular of the net commission, which show a very good performance both year on year and Q on Q, and the decline of operating costs on a like-for-like basis, as we are going to see later on. The last word is business. We recorded a positive development of commercial activity, especially in mortgages, showing an overall increase in the new production by 5.9% and over plus 40% in the residential mortgages segment. So at the end, we are perfectly conscious that our job has not been finished yet. In fact, we are working on another bad loan securitization, for example, but our track record in make things happen and our solid capital base and profitability expectations are a good starting point to think optimistically for the near future. Now let's go quickly into the analysis of the nine months, starting from the balance sheet. We can move on to page 7. So first of all, balance sheet and the total funding, the consolidation of Unipol Banca and Arca Holding significantly changed the shape of our funding structure, in particular concerning asset under management and asset under custody. Total funding grew from 94.7 billion euro in June 19 to 172.1 billion in September 19, with Unipol Banca and Arca Holding contribution respectively of 63 billion and 14.8 billion. Let's turn to page 8. Here we have direct funding. And we can see more details about the breakdown of the direct funding, which comes at 58.2 billion euro from 51 billion euro in June 19, with the contribution of Unipol Banca of 9 billion euro. Customer funding now stands at 55 billion euro, with a large portion of current accounts and sight deposits, which accounts for 46.8 billion euros, mainly due to the conservative approach of customers to investments in the current difficult economic and financial environment. The institutional funding dropped to 3.2 billion euros, mainly due to the zeroing of the repo segment. In Q4, we're going to have maturities of 0.5 billion euro of retail bonds, of which 0.3 billion euro related to a Tier 2 bond issued by Unipol Banca at a very high coupon. This will help our job in reducing cost of funding in the coming quarters. On page 9, here, as I said before, we can see the significant contribution of Unipol Banca and Arca Holding to indirect deposit, both in assets under custody and assets under management, and a lesser extent to bancassurance. What is worth mentioning that indirect funding and bancassurance stock climbed close to 114 million euro. That's an important number, probably the highest after the two big group, Italian big groups in the banking sector, and we can see details in the table on the slide. But I'd like also to underline that on a like-for-like basis, we can appreciate a growth in all aggregates versus December 18, asset under custody plus 11.4%, asset under management plus 7.2%, and bank assurance 10.1%. Moreover, in the third Q 2019, positive net inflows both in asset under management and life insurance segment, which represent notable results for the period. Moving on to page 10, stocks of gross and net customer loans are respectively at 56 billion euro and 52.5 billion. As you know, our strategy provides for a particular focus on mortgages, and within that area, the residential segment. On this side, we recorded an increase by 1.5% of the stock of mortgages, also supported by good performances of mortgages new production, up by 5.9%, with a particularly strong increase of residential mortgages segment, up by 40.6% versus the same period of 2018 on a like-for-like basis. In the third Q 2019, we accounted also the well-known bad loan disposal of circa 1 billion of the GBV to Unipol REC. The good quality of the performing loans book is still confirmed with a very low bucket of high risk exposures. Let's turn to page 11. This page comes as a confirmation of the amazing job we have done on asset quality improvement. Gross NPE ratio fell down respectively by 2.1 percentage point versus June 19 and 8.3 percentage point versus January 18. It's worth remembering that we stood at 23.5 in mid-2016. It is obvious that this is not the target we have in mind, and in fact we are committed to accelerate further on the risking. As I said, we have already started the activities for a new securitization of a portfolio of bad loans expected by the end of the first half 2020, with the aim of reaching over 1 year in advance the target of a gross NPE ratio below 9% set in the business plan for 2021. We are confident to be able to deliver successfully, as our track record clearly shows. A brief look at the third Q19. We have the consolidation of Unipol Banca and the bad loan disposal of about 1 billion GBV to Unipol REC. In the end, the gross NPE stock decreased to 6.5 billion, that means a ratio of 11.6%. NPE coverage decreased to 51.1% due to the different NPE mix, decreased bad loans and increase of UTP and past due. Moving on to page 12, we can appreciate a significant improvement of the default rate, which stands at 1.6% annualized compared to 1.9% in 2018. We can also focus on the strong improvement of bad loans recovery rate, which comes at 6.1% annualized compared with to 5.3% in 2018. This is a confirmation that our servicing platform, the ProCredit Management, is a very efficient machine, and it is doing an excellent job and playing an important role within our overall MP strategy. Now we can move on slide 13. The securities portfolio went up versus June 19 by 1.6 billion euro at 18.8 billion euro, mainly due to the contribution of Unipol Bank consolidation of 1.2 billion euro. Italian government bonds are at 6.4 billion, 1.1 billion from Unipol Banca, weighing 34.2% of the financial assets portfolio. We continue to follow our strategy to diversify the financial portfolio and not to be too concentrated on the Italian sovereign risk. Total bond and Italian govies portfolio's duration are respectively 3.1 years and 4.3 years. Now we can move on to profit and loss figures on page 15. 9 months 19, stated net profit stood at 522.9 million euro, compared to 358.1 million euro in the same period of 2018. The two figures are not directly comparable, mainly because the change in the scope of consolidation this quarter, as well as some significant non-recurring items in the two periods. On a like-for-like basis, net profit in the 9 months is 143.7 million euro, including higher loan loss provisions, were also in line with the expected acceleration of the de-risking process to be implemented through a new securitization of bad loans. But what is worth noting is that core revenues, NII plus net commissions on a like-for-like basis and net of accounting effects related to IFRS 9 and 16, that for a bank under strong de-risking like BPER are significant, are substantially stable year on year. The decrease of NII of 1.1% is offset by the increase of 1.4% of commissions. Moreover, operating costs declined by 1.2% year on year on a like-for-like basis. So overall, apart from extraordinary items, I think that these 9 months results showed some supportive trend both on the revenue and cost side. We can move on very quickly to page 16, where we report the quarterly figures. Net profit of the third two of 422.4 million euro and 43.2 million euro on like-for-like basis. Also, in this quarterly view, we can recognize more or less the same trends on a like-for-like basis, commenting for the nine-month results. A resilient NII, good performance of net commissions, decreasing operating cost. I must be noted that the third quarter accounted higher loss provisions, also in line with expected further acceleration of the de-risking process. We can move very quickly through the main trends related to the profit and loss, starting from the net interest income on the next page 17. Here we can show a resilient NII in Q3, which came at 259 million euro on a like-for-like basis and net of IFRS 9 and 16 effects, increasing compared to 257.6 million euro in Q2, or plus 0.5% quarter on quarter. For a bank like BPER, under a significant de-risking process, the impact of accounting changes, IFRS 9 and 16, are particularly relevant. So, for this reason, I think it's important to look at the ordinary trend, which shows a remarkable resiliency. On a like-for-like basis, 9 months 19 NII decreased by 4.2% year-on-year, but only 1.1 6% year-on-year if we exclude the IFRS 9 and 16 effects. Considering the current difficult macroeconomic scenario and the low negative interest rate environment, I think it's not a negligible result. Net commission on page 18, we are very satisfied of the net commission trend. In the nine months, net commission stood at 656.1 million euro or 585.2 million on a like-for-like basis, up by 1.4% year-on-year, mainly supported by positive overall performance of asset under management, +2.9% year-on-year, and bancassurance, +19% year-on-year. These positive results are perfectly in line with our goal to improve our approach toward fees-oriented businesses in which we are investing a lot in terms of resources. On page 19, in the nine-month 2019, trading income were positive at 77.2 million euro, 62.3 million on a like-for-like basis, which is not comparable with 3Q18 for the presence of non-recurring items. This is well explained by the call-out in the slide which you can read. Trading contribution in Q3 is positive for 49.7 million euro, 34.9 million euro on a like-for-like basis, increased compared to 5.4 million euro in the 2Q19. Moving forward on page 20, also in the operating cost, the nine-month results showed a good performance. Nine-month operating cost stood at 1,071.8 million, on a like-for-like basis, down by 1.2% year-on-year. The quarterly trend recorded a much more positive result with a drop by 8.2% quarter-on-quarter, particularly due to the usual seasonality on staff costs of the third quarter of the year. Other administrative expenses and D&A impacted by the accounting effects of IFRS 16 and not directly comparable on a year-on-year comparison. On a pro forma, that means net of IFRS 16 effects and the like-for-like basis, administrative expenses and D&A down respectively by 1% and 10.8% year-on-year. These are an encouraging signals of improvement given the positive expectation we have on cost side when all the actions included in the business plan will be fully implemented. On page 21, we recorded in nine months higher loan loss provision at 161.1 million and 143.3 million euro on a like-for-like basis. This was due mainly to higher loan loss provisions booked in the Q3, also in line with expected further acceleration of the de-risking process related to a new securitization we are working on. You know that the aim, as I said before, of reaching over one year in advance the target of a gross NPE ratio below 9% set in the business plan for 2021. Consequently, cost of credit raised to 78 basis points versus 47 in 2018. About liquidity on page 23, the liquidity position is solid thanks to the growth of the total eligible assets, now at 20.9 billion euro, increased by 11.7% versus the end of 2018, along with a bucket of unencumbered eligible assets of 10.6 billion euro and extra liquidity of 2.2 billion euro made by deposit with the ECB. Both LCR and NSFR ratios stand well above 100%. On page 24, we were able to confirm our solid capital position even after the completion of the strategic transactions. CET1 fully phased is at 12.36%, up by 3 basis points compared with 12.33% in June 2019, and up by 41 basis points versus 11.95% at the end of 2018. In my opinion, this is a very important achievement, confirming our ability in capital management and the focus of the group on capital solidity. There are many moving parts affecting the capital ratios in this quarter. In summary, we were able to slightly increase our CET1 ratio versus the last quarter by 3 basis points with a mixed effect of the following factors. Related to ordinary activities, we have a positive contribution, in particular coming from retained earnings, including pro quota dividend, showing a good internal capital generation ability. RWA reduction, mainly driven by loans reduction in the large corporate segment and the disposal of 1 billion of GBV. Lower amount of deduction and other elements. A negative impact came from a write-down related to shareholdings. Related to the strategic operations, we have a positive impact from Banco di Sardegna minorities acquisition, plus 56 basis points, more than offset by the acquisition of Unipol Banca, minus 94 basis points, and Arca Holding incremental stake, minus 20 basis points. Now, in conclusion, let me highlight briefly key messages on page 26. The main messages we can get from the nine months results are, first, capital. Once again, I must underline the effectiveness of our capital management strategy, especially in light of the extraordinary years, along with a very comfortable liquidity position. This is confirmed by the Common Equity Tier 1 fully phased at 12.36%. Second, asset quality. Our current gross NPE ratio is at 11.6%, which can be considered a very good achievement if we consider that it stood at 19.9% just at the beginning of 2018. As I said before, our target is to go well below 9%, and we are taking action to reach this level by the end of the first half 2020, over one year in advance of what is embedded in the business plan for 2021 through a new bad loans securitization. Third, profitability. All of these achievements come with a good profitability trend. Net profit and revenues are resilient, and operating costs are showing signals of improvement. Starting from this situation and considering the expected benefits from the extraordinary deals and from the business plan actions, our group has the opportunity to reach a good and sustainable level of profitability going forward. Overall, we have a satisfactory situation, a good starting point for the rest of the year and for challenges of 2020. Now, thank you all for your time and attention, and we are ready to start the Q&A session and to take your questions. Thank you again.
Excuse me. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Domenico Santoro with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good morning, and thanks for the presentation. I do have a number of questions. I might go one by one, if you don't mind. I'm looking at the NII in particular, and the contribution from Unipol is a bit softer compared to the numbers that you gave in the last presentation. So I'm just wondering whether here is a different accounting or something happened that I'm missing. And if you can also give us the expected evolution given the funding synergies that you envisage in the plan, in particular on the instruments that you mentioned in the call, they are going to expire going forward. If you can mention, please, the average cost of these instruments and the phase out over the next 2 years, please. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, Santoro, for your question. Let's say, overall, we consider very positive the trend of the NII. Let me say that Unipol results on this line are in line with our expectations. What I can say that probably try to understand the evolution of the NII for the next year, probably the third Q was the best way to understand what would be the next year trend. Let's say that in the last part of the year we have a subordinated loans of €300 million that is going to expire, and the coupon of this subordinated loans is 6.07. So for this reason, we think that there will be an impact also in the last part of the year, but especially in next year. Analyzing the evolution of NII, let's say that we have some positive element starting from TLTRO and the tiering, and we expect to have a positive impact around €1 million per month coming from this element, and so this is an important point for the NII in the coming years. And at the same time, you know that we are working on the cost of funding, and in particular we see room in the funding of Unipol Bank. So let's say, looking at the third Q, the level on NII, yes, is probably to see a decline in time value because we have a reduction of the stock of non-performing, but we think that this could be offset by the element that I mentioned before. So the expectation is to confirm during 2019 the level of NII of the third Q.
Nice, thanks. On the cost inside, on the cost side, sorry, if I analyze the level of Q3, I don't know whether it's a problem of accounting again, and I add back the €55-50 million run rate of Arca, which was not included in your target for 2021. I get exactly the number that you gave us for 2021. So also the question here is whether we should include in our model a better evolution of cost. I know that you mentioned in the press release some seasonality in the fourth quarter because of the integration on top of the restructuring cost. So more visibility here would be appreciated. Thanks.
Oh, thank you. What I can say about the 4Q 2019 is that there will be the cost of the redundancy plan because, as you know, we completed the negotiation with the union, and you know that in our business plan we set a range between €180 and €200 million. Now we can say that probably the cost will be on the lower part of the range, probably a little bit under 180, but we are waiting the end of the year to have a full picture on the cost related to the redundancy plan. And about the restructuring comment, let's say the integration of Unipol Banca in deeper, we have already booked some of these costs in the third Q, so our expectation is something around probably 15 million euros, so not a significant amount, is in particular related to the integration of the IT, and we are working on this because at the end of November, we are going to have the merger of Unipol Banca in BPER, and let's say this is another important achievement because you know that to complete the acquisition at the beginning of the year, to complete the integration by the end of 2019 is an important element. Yes, about ARCA. ARCA in our business plan was not present, is something an add-on, let's say, on our revenue and cost. I think that also here the third Q could be an anchor to understand the evolution, taking into consideration that typically BPER has in the third Q a reduction on cost, on staff cost. This is a typical trend, but at the same time, thanks to the conclusion, the completion of the negotiation with the union, the expectation is to see, starting from the last part of 2020, some reduction in the cost, in the staff cost. I don't know, Alessandro Simonazzi, if you want to add something about this.
And for what concerns the guidance for the future, we expect something better than what we declared in the business plan in terms of cost savings for the future. And so this is why probably you find something better than what we said before. For what concerns the redundancy plan, the expectation after having delivered the agreement with the unions is to confirm the synergies that we have studied in the business plan. Probably there will be a fine-tuning in terms of phasing, but anyway, we confirm the main figures that we included in the business plan.
All right. On capital instead, there was quite a move of risk-weighted assets in the quarter. I understand that there is the benefit, you know, the beneficial effect from the from the disposal of non-performing. Can you comment whether there is something more related to Unipol in particular? And can you also highlight all the regulatory headwinds from now on that you might have visibility on, including, of course, detailing also the 300 million euro impact on capital that you gave in the business plan. And on top of this, whether there is also some anticipation that you might make on the Basel IV, please. Thanks.
Okay, first of all, let me express our satisfaction for the CET1 ratio at the end of the third Q. And our expectation is to confirm at the end of the year a common equity one around 12%. And let me say that there are probably some positive elements to take into consideration. The first one, we are working, and probably you saw yesterday the press release on activity on the saving share of Banco di Sardegna, and so we expect to complete the activity by the end of the year. And so here there is probably an effect that we estimate around 10 basis points. But at the same time, we are waiting for TRIM by ECB. But at the same time, with TRIM, there is also the new model on the PD large and the EAD corporate. So the expectation is to have a balance between the two effects, but at the end, a positive impact on our CET1 ratio. Obviously, we are waiting for this. We are a little bit optimistic for receiving this communication by the ECB by the end of the year. So together, these two elements, plus the buffer that we have above 12% in the CET1 ratio at the end of September, means that we can manage the impact of the redundancy plan and probably some other provisioning to be in line with the price of the disposal through securitization in the first half 2020. So together, all these elements, we are pretty confident for the objective of 2019 end. Speaking about the effect, probably I would ask you, our CFO, to go deeply in the different element of the moving capital in the third Q 2019.
Hi, Domenico. On RWA reduction, actually, we had the positive effect from, as you said, the NPE disposal, but also from the composition of our lending, because we had a decrease in the corporate side and large corporate side by around 600 million, and then an increase in retail, mainly in residential mortgages, by around 100 million. So actually, it is the density that is lower, and the composition helped our risk-weighted asset release. In terms of impact, actually, there are preliminary analysis, but the impact that we expect from all the new regulation before Basel IV is actually a reduction in terms of risk-weighted assets of around 1.2 billion, and an increase in our shortfall of around 280 million. So you see that actually that they are in line with what we projected in our business plan, and they are absolutely manageable, I would say.
The last point that what you add about 2020, there is also our expectation. We are working on this, the rollout IB model on Unipol. We don't know exactly what will be the timeline, but probably there is the opportunity to have it by the end of 2020. Anyway, the expectation is to have a positive impact on CET1 ratio around 40 basis points coming from this alignment of Unipol group. So let's say also 2020, there is some positive effect through this potential alignment. So overall, I think 2019 and 2020 are absolutely under control, and we are absolutely satisfied for what we were able to do during the last year.
Can I ask also the last question, I promise, the rationale from what we read on the newspaper about potential you know, investment from a private equity in Arca SGR is more strategical or, I mean, related also to some potential capital release there? Thank you.
Well, frankly speaking, it's too early to say something about ARCA. You know that we want to analyze the opportunity together with Popolare Sondrio. This is what I think is absolutely correct and important. What I can say is that till now, probably we are able to exclude something, not to say what will be the trended opportunity for ARCA. What I can say that we are not ready to sell ARCA. For BPER is a strategic investment, and also I think is for Popolare Sondrio. And so we are absolutely committed to support ARCA in the evolution and in all the opportunity of growth. And for this reason, I hope to have the opportunity to complete our strategic analysis in the coming month and to understand if there are some opportunity to support ARC in this process of growth. Let's say that it's correct to say that there are some private equity that express interest on ARCA. Let's say it's positive because probably ARCA is a good asset manager, and today we are absolutely satisfied for the activity of ARCA. But as I said before, we don't need any support on capital because, as I said before, we have embedded in our business the ability to have a good capital position. Yes, it is possible to have a buffer, but let's say it's too early to say something more about the future of ARCA, and as I said, is a strategic partner for BPER.
Many thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Vercellone with Exane. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Two questions. The first one is on personnel costs, in particular related to the personnel exits, which you have now agreed. Can you give us an idea, more or less, how many people you plan will exit in 2020 and for how many it's 2021 or after? The second question, you have more or less already answered it before, it's on capital, but I just would like you to repeat the elements because there's a lot of moving parts on what's going to happen between now and the future. So you stated in the answer to the previous questions that you expect extension of the IRB perimeter already in Q4, to the large corporate already in Q4, and that should take care of what you have included in the business plan presentation slide of the RWA decrease and the regulatory buffer, i.e. the shortfall increase. Is that correct? If that is the case, there's nothing left that we should be worried from 2020 onwards, or there's still something left out of that business plan presentation. You also stated TRIM is coming now, and ARCA saving shares is coming now. So I just want to reconcile after Q4 if there are any moving parts besides the IRB on Unipol Banca. Thank you.
First of all, about personnel, let me say first of all that we confirm the target for the end of 2021 in terms of number of employees of the group, because during the negotiation with the union, we expressed clearly this point, so through the agreement and through the other activities, the target will be achieved. So I ask to Alessandro Simonazzi to express if it's possible the two steps, one in 2020 and one and the other in 2021.
So let me say it's not so simple because we have to check the interest of our colleagues for the maneuver, and it depends on who is joining the maneuver, and is not so clear and so defined. Anyway, let me say that comparing with the business plan, the expectation of the exit, the estimate of the exit, is lower by more or less 100 headcounts, just because these 100 headcounts left the group thanks to Quota 100 during this year. And so the impact of the maneuver is a little bit lower and less expensive, just because we anticipated some exits via ordinary activity with the new law 800. The exit will be more or less 50 colleagues coming from Unipol Bank that already were planned to exit during 2020. There is another more or less 280, 300 people that are with not colleagues but external support that we paid that will exit during 2020. About 1,200 people that are staff cost, real staff cost of BIP. The main exit will be in 2020. What we expect is, let me say, 10 million cost synergies shifting from 2021 to 2022. Due to the fact that people will leave with a one quarter delay if compared with the former evolution.
About the capital position, I hand over to Roberto Ferrari to go deeply in some elements, and then I would like at the end to express some other four elements for give you, I hope, a full picture or our trend.
Yes, hi Andrea. In our business plan, we already embed the impact of TRIM and large corporate enlargement of the new model that we should have by the end of this year, and we should have a small risk-weighted asset relief on that. And then we already embed the new definition of default impact, the rollout of Saluzzo and Sarda leasing, the full implementation of the IBA guidelines, and the PMI supporting factor. So we already embed those impacts, and there shouldn't be other moving parts. As I said before, and as our CEO said before, we are also working for the rollout of the IRB model to Unipol Banca that should give us a 40 basis point benefit. So we don't expect other further moving parts, actually.
Looking forward to 2022 and so Basel 4 is probably too early for us to express number and figure about the impact, but let's say some elements. First of all, on operating risk, you know, we are TSA, and probably we understood that the highest impact is for banks with AMA model approved. So we think that is absolutely manageable by BIPER. At the same time, the effect on credit risk, we saw in our analysis the highest impact is on large corporate, so corporate with more than 500 million of revenues, and on the relationship with banks. So these are two segments that are not focus of our business model. And also, for example, in this quarter, we reduced the exposure on large corporate for managing the impact of Unipol Banca in our balance sheet. And so, let's say, nothing significant on P&L. So for this reason, I'm not worried about on Basel IV, because, as I said, large corporate is important for BIPER, but is not the focus of our business model. At the same time, banks and on operational risk, as I said before, today we are TSA, and the impact is manageable. For this season, looking forward to 2022, for our group, I think it is absolutely manageable, the impact of Basel IV.
Excuse me. The part on Basel IV is clear. I'll rephrase the question on capital, because to me, it wasn't clear, the answer. I'd make it simple. Your guidance is somewhere around 12% at year-end, fully loaded Core Tier 1, including already certain elements which you had already factored in the business plan. In 2020 and 2021, how many positives or negatives are still to come? Just add them all together in basis points, excluding Unipol Banca IRB model.
So, Roberto.
Okay, so what we said before and we embed in our business plan, we have positive in terms of risk-weighted assets relief, that is the new definition of default that should be in 2021. We have the end 2020 and 2021. We have the rollout of Cierre Saluto and Sarda Leasing that should be in 2021, where we should be also a relief in risk-weighted assets. And we have also the full implementation of IBA guidelines, where we have clearly a negative impact on risk-weighted assets that should be also that in 2021. Altogether, the impact, as I said, should be negative in terms of relief, in terms of risk-weighted asset, by around minus 1.1 billion, and should be an increase in shortfall by around 300 million. That it is the same number or very similar number as we had in the presentation of the business plan, at page 48, where we had a regulatory buffer, an increase of a shortfall of 300 million, and a decrease of risk-weighted asset of around 1 billion euro.
Thank you very much. Clear.
Thank you.
The next question is from Thomas Dezoames with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for the presentation and the very detailed disclosures. Lots of my questions have already been answered, so I'll ask just one, and it is on badwill. So you're showing a default rate for the 9 months that is below the first semester. So my first question is it fair to assume that the de-risking process, the faster de-risking process has cost you about 80 million of loan losses this quarter? And that if I add this to the 180 million for restructuring costs, you have about 90 million of badwill left to quote unquote spend. Would that be again used to increase the or accelerate the de-risking process? Thank you very much.
Okay, Thomas, thank you very much for your question. First of all, badwill has been higher than expected at the beginning, and so this is a positive element. And we see in the fourth quarter, we want to complete the PPA in the fourth quarter. Let's say, in general, overall, we expect probably something more than something less in terms of badwill. And this is what we are working on, and we expect to see at the end, but I repeat, not a reduction, but probably something more. Having said this, let's say that, yes, we have already started some provision for the new disposal in 2020, but let's say that we have today, and I would like to spend some words about our idea on the disposal process. We have already a large portion of bad loans with a good level of coverage. Let me say, first of all, thinking about the last two securitization in 2018, the name were Quattro Mori and Acqui, the average price at that time, including the effect of mezzanine and junior notes, was more or less at 29%. This was the price of the two securitization. So let's say now we are ready with the coverage that we have today to sustain also a lower price, and it's correct to expect a lower price because this is the third securitization on bad loans, but we have today a coverage higher, and we are ready to face also reduction in the price. So we think in the fourth quarter it's possible to manage some other extra provision, but looking at the coverage that we have in the last portion of the portfolio, we think is, let's say, a last small part of coverage. And so we think that we can manage this, that I hope is the last massive disposal in a very effective way. And there are all the elements for to complete this in a positive way in the first half 2020.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Thomas.
The next question is from Adele Palama with UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. One question from me. So can you tell us the NPL income in the quarter versus the previous quarter and the NPL income loss from the 1 billion NPL sale? Thanks.
You say the 1 billion disposal completed in July?
Yes, the NPL disposal to Nipotec.
Yes. In July, we completed the disposal of 1 billion to Uniporec. We had no losses coming from the disposal because we had a substantial alignment in the coverage with the price. Let's say something about this. Since the beginning of the year, we had in mind to accelerate the risking. And so we take advantage of this opportunity in the negotiation with Unipol Group working on Unipol Bank acquisition. And so we take the opportunity to sell a portfolio that was difficult to use in a securitization. So in fact, this portfolio is a large part unsecured, more or less 65%. And the other part, 35, secure. And so the reason was to use in this deal a portfolio not suitable for a securitization bad loans. And for this reason, now we have a portfolio with something more secured and something less unsecured. And we think it is good for a new securitization. But as I repeat, no loss in the deal concluded in July.
Thank you.
The next question is from Hugo Cruz with KBW. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. So I just want to clarify a few things on capitals because the connection is a bit, couldn't hear well. But I understood that after 2019, so 2019 you'll be around 12%, and then all the other moving parts will be in 2021. Is that correct? That was my understanding. You know, the ones that add up to 1.1 billion of lower RWAs and an extra 300 million of shortfall. That will all be in 2021, right? So I want to clarify that. And then going back to the NPL cleanup to get to the below 9%, I understood, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, that all the provisioning for that transaction will be booked in Q4 19, correct? So, you know, if you assume that, you know, then you get to a steady state, what kind of cost of risk are you going for, you know, targeting for 2020? Thank you.
Okay, Hugo, thank you very much for your question. I will take the second one about the disposal and the effect on our P&L in the Q4 and looking also forward to 2020. First of all, we are already in a good position in terms of coverage. This is the reason because we are ready to accelerate the disposal process. because without this element, probably we can use all the period of the business plan to 2021. But we have already selected a first part of the portfolio, let's say between 1.5 to 2 billion euro with a good level of coverage. So our expectation is that probably we need some fine-tuning in the last part of the year, but our expectation is absolutely to support this other provisioning, maintaining our capital in a 12% area. And next year, we expect to have probably a cost of risk around 70 basis points for some other fine-tuning in the first Q, but say not significant. Also consider that now our bad loans portfolio is reducing quarter after quarter, and so we don't need any further coverage on a large part of portfolio. So for this reason, we are absolutely confident to manage this process, and we are proud to complete 1 year in advance, considering the target of our business plan, the process of disposal. So we have already our arrangers, we have already selected the servicer, we have already selected the team, and so we are we have a kickoff last week, and we are already working on this project. So I am absolutely confident for the positive result of this securitization. I hand over to Roberto for some other considerations.
Thank you. On capital, we expect Unipol Banca in 2020, but for sure we are not sure on that. It depends on the regulatory procedure. And then we have the other impacts, the other moving parts, as you call, in 2021. The other moving parts are Saluto and Sada Leasing rollout, the full implementation of the IBA guidelines, the new definition of default, and the PMI supporting factor. All together with Unipol Banca, the impact should be of around minus 1.2 billion of risk-weighted assets and plus 300 million of shortfall. Altogether, I would say the impact should be between negative 440 and 50 basis points by 2021.
Okay, just to follow up on that. So you said that negative 50 basis points is already net of the Unipol, which was a positive 40 basis points?
It is already net of the Unipol that is positive 40 basis points, yes.
So if you didn't have the Unipol, it would be higher. The impact would be something like 100 basis points.
Well, about Unipol Bank, our expectation is to have a positive effect of 40 basis points.
Yeah.
And probably after that
in 2020,
yeah, the moving parts is
are negative
for around 50
basis points. Yeah.
Okay, get it. So the net of the two, you're more or less neutral, basically.
So at the end, if we want to sum positive and negative is zero, because plus 40 and left minus 40, 50. And so for this reason, we want to confirm the target of 12.5% of Common Equity 1 at the end of the business plan, because all these elements, and then there is the generation of Common Equity 1 through our activity. So all in all, the target of 2021 would be 12.5%, but considering with a group with a low level of NP ratio and to have at the same time 12.5%, I think is a good target.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Noemi Peruk with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I have a couple of questions from my side. Just a follow-up on capital. Does the outcome of the TRIM that you're expecting by year-end include all the exposure, i.e. retail, corporate, and low-default portfolios? And then I have a clarification on asset quality. in light of the additional 1 to 2 billion NPE sales within the plan, I understand that the mark-to-market of such disposal will be spread between Q4 and Q1 2020. Is it correct? And then the last one, can you please disclose the dividend accrued in the 9 months? And would you continue to accrue dividends in Q4? Many thanks.
Well, about the asset quality and disposal, let's say, first, the starting point at the end of September 2019 is really very good in terms of coverage. And so, as I said, we need only, fine-tuning. And let's say, is more to try to do our best to widen the amount of disposal, because on a large part we think to have already a level of coverage in line with the price on the market. But we want to have the, if it's possible, if there will be the right market condition, to have the opportunity to widen the portfolio for the securitization. For this reason, I said some fine-tuning in the Q4 and Q1, but let's say is not a significant impact on P&L. Let's say is a fine-tuning. And so we will see during the activity of the, when we are working on the perimeter of the portfolio. So let's say is something that we are working on. On the dividend, is already accrued in our capital position. So today we reach already the target for 2019. And so in general, we don't think to have anything more for the Q4. And this is an important achievement also from this point of view.
On the trim, it includes the corporate and the low default portfolio. It doesn't include clearly the retail portfolio.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you very much for the attention. Have a good day and see you soon. Thank you very much.